Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. The kingdom of God is God's order. In short, I'm just giving you a short definition of the kingdom of God. It's God's order, God's rule, or God's authority. God's authority. It's talking about God's government there. So we're to seek first the kingdom of God. We're to seek first God's government. We're to seek first God's rule, God's authority. God's authority. Think about that. Seek first God's authority. You know, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And what was he doing? He was not only preaching, he was demonstrating the kingdom of God. He was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was doing the very things that you and I now can do in his name. We have authority in the name of Jesus. He came to restore to mankind the authority he predestined for man to have from the very beginning. Remember, in the very beginning, God said, let them, talking about mankind, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. That, again, that's rule, that's authority. Authority over all his creation. This is what God created us for. One of the major reasons he created us was so that he can expand, increase his government, his rule, his dominion, his authority. And in order to expand his dominion, his rule, his authority, he needs rulers. He needs people that he can delegate authority to. So he created someone in his image and in his likeness who he can delegate his authority to, who can now rule over his creation and expand his government. Remember over in Isaiah it says, and of his government, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. So God's government is to increase forever and ever and ever. And this is why he created you. It's to be a kingdom ruler. It's to rule and reign. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's authority. Understand and know the authority of God. Can you say amen? This is one of the primary reasons why God created us. So we need to be busy about seeking God's authority. That's why this subject of submission and authority is so important. We have to understand it. And again, to understand authority, we have to understand two things about it. How to exercise it and submit to it. Now, a lot of times people like the side when we talk about exercising our authority, taking authority over the devil and so forth. People like to have authority. People like being in the captain's chair. People like ruling. They like subjects along those lines. But to understand that part of authority, the exercising of it, we also have to understand the submission side of authority. You can't be good at exercising authority if you are not first good at submitting to authority. I remember when I was youth pastoring out in Oklahoma, we had gone on a field trip, and the pastor of the church was driving the van out in front of us with some kids in it. I was driving another vehicle with some kids in it, and some other cars were behind me, and we were driving along, and the pastor, you know, you could see him in there. He's just a preaching, you know, his hands are going, he's driving, and his hands are moving, and whoever is in the truck, he's just talking to him, you know. And so, you know, apparently he didn't have cruise control, and so, you know, he would start really slowing down, you know, and then he'd speed up again. And then, and we want to get to our destination, right? And so, but, you know, he's leading and we're following, and he just starts slowing down again. And so I had this guy in the front seat next to me. His name was Kyle. And he was, you know, older, the older one of all the teenagers. And Kyle was a very rebellious young man. He came to the field trip, but he usually didn't come to youth meetings. He was out doing his own thing, you know, really kind of loved the world and so forth at that time. And so he's sitting next to me, and he's observing this, you know, and so I'm slowing down when the pastor's vehicle slows down, and he's kind of, and then I guess he wakes up and realizes he's going real slow, so he starts picking up speed again. And so Kyle looks over at me, and he says, "Why don't you just blow past him?" I said, "No." I said, we'll follow him. And he said, "You're not a leader. You're a follower." I said, "Well, Kyle," I said, "all good leaders are really good followers." I said, "You can't be a good leader if you're not first a good follower." I proceeded to talk a little bit more to him about submission and authority. But a lot of times, see, people think like that. They think, let me just blow past him. I'm so much smarter. I know so much more. And if I was in charge, I would do this. And you know, I want to do it my way because my way is better than his way or her way. People don't understand the blessing of submission. They don't understand the importance of it. And as a result of that, these people never are able to be entrusted with much authority in the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians that are running around wanting the authority, wanting positions of authority, wanting to rule, but they will never do it because they're not submitted to authority. Many times they'll go out and just like a little firecracker, they'll go do something that makes them feel important, makes them feel special, makes them feel like, you know, people are following me and I'm a leader. And just like a little firecracker, it'll be over. It doesn't last very long. A little bottle rocket. Or a little comet in the night. Oh, look at the shooting star. Little meteor. Flying through, just burning up. Goes out as fast as it came on the scene. Now we want to be like the North Star. We want to be like these stars that are up there that people can navigate. And that are there and they're steadily shining all the time, giving direction, giving light. That's how we want to be. And you'll never be that way if you're not a submitted person. You want to be submitted to authority. A lot of times people will brag about ruling, but we need to learn to brag about submitting. We need to be excited about how submissive we are, how we love to obey orders, how we just love to serve and do what our leaders tell us to do. And this is key. And remember, Jesus, this is who he was. I mean, he was the ultimate example of submission. You see that in the Word of God there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Of course, it wasn't limited to that. His whole life, he was submitted to the Father. You would hear him say time and time again, "Of myself, I could do nothing." Or he would always be deferring to the Father. Like in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to suffer like he knew he was about to. And so he prayed to the Father. And he said, "If there's any possible way this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." He submitted his will to the Father. And he is our example. Look at him there in that upper room with the disciples at the Last Supper and how he gets down and begins to wash their feet. And he tells them, "This is an example for you all to learn from. If you call me Lord and teacher and your master," which is true, "and yet I have made myself a servant of yours." And here he is taking this lowly position and washing their feet, serving them. He was giving us an example. This is how you rule in life. You serve. You serve God's purposes. You serve his desires. We live in a world that is self-serving. It's all about self. It's all about exalting yourself. But the Bible says that we're to humble ourselves, not exalt ourselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you in due time. He will lift you up. But if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. You will experience judgment. You will be brought low. So the key to going high, go low and stay low. Stay low. And by being low, being a servant, God will lift you up. God will exalt you. Can you say amen? And so we saw over in James chapter 4 in verse 7, which is really a text for this series, where the Bible says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice that. Submit to God. That's first. That's first place. Before resisting the devil. Submit to God. Then we talked about how do we submit to God? And we said, number one, we submit to God by submitting to his word, both the written and spoken word. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will give us direction in life. We need to be sensitive to him, and we need to obey his promptings. We need to obey him when he convicts us. That's the number one way I believe the Spirit of God leads us, is through convicting us. So you get a conviction about something. And your flesh says, yeah, but I want to do it. But then you got this conviction on the inside. It's not right. It's not right. This is not pleasing to God. But you really want to do it. And everybody else does it. I mean, Christians do it. But you got a conviction. What are you going to obey? What are you going to follow? If you follow your feelings, then you are not submitting to God. You're rebelling against the Spirit of God. You're rebelling against what God is saying to you. And he's speaking it to you through conviction. So it's very important we follow our convictions. And you can dull yourself to God's conviction. You can continue to do things that are contrary to his leading, what he's guiding you to do. And by doing that, you dull yourself. And you begin to make yourself insensitive to him to the point where you don't even feel any conviction about what you're doing anymore, even though it's completely out of line. It's completely in rebellion to God. And I think a lot of people have gotten over into that, where they've just dulled their heart because they have violated their heart. They have violated the convictions of their heart. And now they're over here, and they're just living a certain way, and everything's great, and everything's fine, and they don't realize, no, it's not fine. You're off course. It's not right. Something that you were one time real sensitive about, now you got to look and see, where are you now today with it? All of a sudden now, I guess things have changed. It's not really that big of a deal anymore. Well, has things changed, or have you just hardened your heart and become dull to what at one time really bothered you? See, I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. And so it's important, you know, to pray to God. Say, Lord, if I've missed it, if I've gotten off in an area, if I've hardened my heart to you in an area and I'm not sensitive to your conviction now, I ask you to help me, deliver me from that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, revive that conviction in me. And he says, well, your mouth, you know, you talk too much. And this is just an example. I would never dare think any of you this would be a problem. Yeah, you're right, Lord. I got to get control of my tongue. That's right. And we've heard, you know, if you've been around here much, you know, there's some messages you've heard on the power of the tongue. And we've got to watch what we say. But a lot of times people, you know, they hear that and then they don't, that's God talking to them. Watch what you say. Guard your mouth. But they're still loose with their lips. So it's something you got to grab a hold of that, pull that back in, and say, yeah, I need to get control of that. Lord, forgive that. Thank you for convicting me and helping me to see where whenever I start to talk too much, you show me. That's how we need to pray. That's why we need to pray every day and humble ourselves before God and ask him, Lord, help me to see me. Help me to see if there's any area where I'm missing it. Help me to be sensitive to you. Because like I said before, many times people, they get off in an area, they don't even know they're off in that area, and yet it's causing all kinds of problems for them. And they can't figure out, why do I feel so unhappy? Why do I feel so miserable? Because your heart's miserable. Because your flesh is getting everything it wants. And your heart is being neglected. And you're disobeying the Spirit of God that lives in your heart. And now all of a sudden, you're miserable on the inside. And things that used to bring you joy, they don't really do it for you anymore. In fact, even the things of God are kind of, I don't know, getting a little old. Got to watch about that. I'm telling you right now, something is majorly wrong. That should be a major warning. Lights flashing, red flags flying. If all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, I just don't get much out of the services anymore. You're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. Don't think it's the place you're in. Don't think it's the word of God. It's you. But if you listen to the devil and follow the flesh and blame it on everything else, harder and harder your heart gets. And you're going in the wrong direction. And the devil will eat your lunch. You've got to get it right. You got to get it right. I remember one time I had something happen to me. This is a long time ago. And I was overwhelmed by fear. Fear had gripped me. I almost fainted because of fear. Almost fainted. I went to God. I said, what was that? Why did that happen to me? And I sought God about it. And then I went to a scripture. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So I started thinking about that. If you faint in the day of adversity, well, your strength, what's my strength? My faith. My faith is my spiritual strength. It's not talking about physical strength, my spiritual strength. It's my faith. So my faith is small. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And then I got to thinking, you know, I've gotten away from reading the word. You know, I've started to read other things. You know, if I'm going to read something, I'll read this little pamphlet over here. I'll read this little teaching over here. You know, because after all, I've read the Bible, you know. I've read the Bible. I've read the Bible a lot. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, I feel like I've kind of got out of the Bible everything I needed to get. Now, I didn't actually say that to myself, but really, that's subconsciously, that's what's going on there. I'm kind of like, I don't really worry the word because I mean, I've read it. Well, what are you saying? You're thinking you've exhausted the word or something? Never happen. It'll never happen. There's so much revelation in there. And I realized it. I realized I've gotten away from the Lord. And the Lord showed me that, and I repented of it. I said, in the name of Jesus, Genesis chapter 1, here we go. And I've been reading through the Bible. In fact, I just finished reading the Contemporary English Version yesterday of the Bible. I just read through the, you know, I've changed up some translations. I've read the NIV, I've read the Amplified, I've read different translations. Some here, different translations. I mean, you never get enough of the word. And I'm excited about the word. I'm excited about Leviticus. I'm excited about 1 Chronicles. I'm excited about all of it. Because it's the word of God. See, I made that adjustment years ago. And I got that right. And I'm so grateful I did get it right. I'm excited about the word. You got to keep yourself excited. But you see, all of a sudden, something that was exciting to you, it's not so exciting anymore. Oh, well, you know, maybe I need to make some changes. Yeah, like in your heart. Like you need to change what's going on in your heart. Repent of some things. Get back to some things. Find out where you've gotten dull, why you've gotten dull. Where you've resisted the Spirit of God. Where you've resisted the will of God. If there's any area in your life where you've been resisting him, you need to get it right. So therefore, ask God to show you. Don't be afraid to see it. Be more afraid of not seeing. Some people are afraid of seeing the truth. Don't be afraid of not seeing the truth. Because when you don't see the truth, that's when you get in trouble. But if you see the truth, bless God, you can walk in liberty. You can be safe. So we need the truth. Can you say amen? So we submit to God by submitting to his word, both the written word and the spoken word of God. We submit to God also by submitting to people that God has placed in authority over us. And we looked at Romans chapter 13. Why don't we just turn there real quickly? Romans the 13th. Romans 13. And it says in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. What a powerful statement. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, this is true both in the church world, of course, and also in the secular world, in our government, the civil authorities and so forth. And that's what he's emphasizing even here. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God or the word of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, he carries a weapon for a purpose. Now, most pastors don't walk around carrying weapons. Here he's talking about police, law enforcement. Maybe a soldier, but primarily a law enforcement, police officer. He does not bear the sword. And notice what it says in verse 4. He is God's minister. Think about that. A policeman, God's minister. He's representing God. Why? Because he's out there punishing evil and rewarding good, protecting people, helping people. Yeah, but he's not even saved. Doesn't matter. The office that he holds, the position that he's in, is from God. And here it says, all the authorities that exist are from God. And so to resist them is to resist God. To treat them disrespectfully is to disrespect God, is to treat God wrong. Verse 4 again, for he's God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You know, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Well, how does God repay? If vengeance is his, how does he repay? Many times, he'll use an avenger. A minister of his, someone he's anointed and raised up to go ahead and punish people that do wrong. He'll throw people in jail. Maybe that's God avenging you. Somebody does wrong and they go to jail for it. It's God. Here's a little side journey. You know, a lot of times family members will run quickly to the aid of Junior if Junior gets himself arrested and in trouble and put in jail. Oh, we got to get Junior out. We got to get Junior. And they don't even really think about what Junior's done and how he got himself in this situation. It's just, it's Junior, and Junior cannot be in jail. So we pay the bail and we get him out because he's Junior. But sometimes the best thing to do is let Junior sit in jail for a couple hours. It's gonna be okay. Jail's a safe place for people like Junior. You know, I've told people that. I said, he's okay. We gotta get down there, we gotta get him. No. It's okay, he's in a safe place now. He can't cause problems for himself. He's being restrained. Jail's not a bad place. Jail's a very good place for certain people. Police officers are very good people for good people, right? Only criminals would treat them disrespectfully. Only criminals would speak ill of law enforcement, people that are criminals at heart. So you got to watch yourself. How do you speak about authority? How do you speak about God's ministers? How do you speak about those that God has placed over you in life? If you don't speak well of them, don't think all is well between you and God. That is something that you need to get right. That is something that's got to get fixed immediately. Well, I don't say anything bad except to myself. That's where problems begin. They all start on the inside. Good things and bad things in life, they all start on the inside of us. Don't wait until it's on the outside before you recognize what's going on. Deal with your insides. Those kind of thoughts are not going to be in my mind. Those kind of feelings are not going to dominate me. These are negative, disrespectful, dishonorable feelings and thoughts towards those that God has placed in authority. I resist them just like I resist the devil in Jesus' name. I am not going to yield to these things. Man, this is going to help folks. You get a hold of this. Because I'm telling you, it's the root of a lot of people's problems. Now, I'm not saying a lot of people. I'm just saying in life in general, in the church world in general. It's a root to a lot of their problems. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But you can't judge yourself if you don't know where you're missing it. Today, in today's world, people not only have not been taught about authority, they don't understand submission, but they're actually taught to resist it, to resist authority. You see a lot of that in our society today. But I like to say the rebellious resist and the righteous pray. Because the Bible tells us that we're to pray for those in authority, not resist them, not join forces around other people that are resisting so that we become a part of a rebellion. You know, the Bible says, though they join forces, they will not go unpunished. There will be judgment. There'll be punishment for it. See, but a lot of times, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You got to watch about that. You know, many times, you know, Charlie over here is dealing with some rebellion and some resistance. And then Marcia, all of a sudden, never paid attention to Charlie while Charlie loved Jesus. But now, all of a sudden, Marcia, who's struggling with rebellion, looks over at Charlie and says, I want to go talk to Charlie. I don't know. I think I like Charlie. And next thing you know, Charlie and Marcia are talking. And then next thing you know, Jack, good old Jack, he's over here, you know, and he's discontent. He's upset. He's offended and he's hurt. And suddenly he likes Charlie. Charlie seems like a nice guy. He seems like someone I could talk to. I can't seem to talk to anybody else around here, but I could talk to Charlie. Charlie seems open and seems like a nice guy. And next thing you know, this stuff, how do these things happen? Because there's a devil. There's a devil that will draw those of like rebellion together. Just like the Holy Spirit will draw those of like faith together. I want to hang around people. I'm attracted to faith. There's some people, they smell rebellion. And they go over there to it, you know. They smell it. It's a fragrance. And they just move towards it. It's like it's magnetic. But we need to be that way about faith. We look and we see Jesus in someone's eyes. We see faith in someone. And we're just drawn to them. But those that join together in rebellion, the Bible says they will not go unpunished, though they join forces. There's not safety in numbers when you're in rebellion to God. There's no place safe, no place safe when you're in rebellion towards God. Judgment is looming over your life. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's the good news. You know, sometimes you got to put the light on some things. People feel a little uncomfortable. You put the light on it, but then if they could see it, then they can judge themselves and escape the consequences of their actions. Amen? Thank God for the truth. The truth sets us free. Praise God forever. I wouldn't want to go to a surgeon. I mean, I don't want to go to a surgeon, period, but I wouldn't want to go to a surgeon with a problem, you know, and he goes in there and he just gives me laughing gas and tells funny stories, and makes me feel good about myself, and sends me on my way. It doesn't get in there with the knife and start cutting things out. Right? When does the surgery begin? Oh, that's it. That's it. Now I know why everybody loves you as a surgeon. We just get funny gas. You know? He shoots some stuff in our veins, make us feel really good. And he says all these great things about us, tells us how wonderful we are, and then sends us home. to die. To suffer later. Right? That's what happens. We don't want that. I don't want deception. The whole world cries out for it. That's why they sing songs. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Right? They sing about it. Tell me lies. No, man. Run from it. Run from it. Run from it. Praise God. We saw over in Jude 9. The Bible says, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, dared not bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. See, he turned it over to the Lord. He turned it over to the Lord. Because Satan, as the god of this world, had authority. Michael the archangel recognized it. And even though Michael was stronger and more powerful, I'm sure, Michael dared not speak a reviling thing against Satan because he respected God. He respected the place that Satan held. Not that he respected Satan, but he respected the place that Satan held. And therefore, in honoring God, he just turned it over to God and said, hey, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 14, 15, it talks about how Paul the apostle was being heavily persecuted by someone by the name of Alexander the coppersmith. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his deeds. Again, what did Paul do about it? He turned it over to the Lord. And then, like I said, as we were closing last week, you know, King David was a great example of someone who submitted to authority. If you've turned me over to 1 Samuel chapter 26, I'll give you an example of it. 1 Samuel chapter 26, King Saul was wrongly pursuing David's life to kill him. I mean, this is serious. David's having to run for his life. Saul is lying about David to the entire nation, to all his men, all his troops, so that people think David is rebellious, David is worthy of death, and they're hunting him down. And David gets into a situation where King Saul is right where David could kill him. David's in a position now where he could stop all this right now, and he can kill Saul, the king. And it says in verse 9, but David said to Abishai, that was one of his men that was next to him, that was ready to kill King Saul for David right now. He said, I can kill him right now on the spot. He said, do not destroy him, for who could stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Now think about this. Saul has basically become possessed, because Saul is trying to hang on to a position that the Lord has taken from him. He won't get out of this place that he once held. God has now told him, I've picked somebody else for this spot, and it's David. And so because he's staying in that position, he now has a troubling spirit, an evil spirit gets a hold of Saul. And he becomes like a demon-possessed man. And he's just wanting to kill David. And so here David says concerning him, he doesn't say this demon-possessed crazy man. He says, the Lord's anointed. He still is honoring King Saul, even though King Saul is trying to kill him and has done all these terrible things to him. And you see the honor and the integrity of David. That's why David becomes king, because David dared not exalt himself to that place, even though God had called him to it, even though God anointed him for it. He wasn't going to put himself there, and he certainly was not going to attack the one that God had previously anointed and put there, because he respected God. He so respected that office of the king that he would dare not do anything against it, even though his own life was being threatened. See, this man understood authority. He understood submission to God means submission to man. He understood that how he treated this man would be a reflection of how he treats God. No, this guy's crazy. This guy's going to kill you. That's not God. Yeah, but he stands in the office that God placed him in, that God ordained. And therefore, he is God's minister. And I would dare not lift my finger against him. I'm not going to speak a word against God's anointed. Who can speak against God's anointed and be blameless and guiltless? In other words, there's going to be guilt. There's going to be shame. That's what's going to happen if you speak against God's authority. You're going to have guilt. You're going to have shame. David understood that. It's amazing to me all that David understood when he didn't even have the full word of God like we have today. He didn't have teaching like this, yet he understood this. That means he was sensitive to his heart and he was sensitive to his convictions. He obeyed his convictions. He ended up taking, he cut a piece off of Saul's robe just so that he can show Saul, I could have killed you. See, I'm not your enemy. See, I mean, I was as close to you as your robe right there you're wearing. I cut off a piece of your robe. I could have killed you. See, I'm not trying to kill you, king. And the Bible says when he cut a piece of Saul's robe, his heart convicted him. You read about it. He was convicted. It bothered him that he actually cut the king's robe. The man's trying to kill him. And yet today we got people, they'll say whatever they want to say about the president. They'll say whatever they want to say about law enforcement. They'll say whatever they want to say about pastors. They'll say whatever they want to say about this ruler or that leader. They'll just say whatever they want to say. Their mouths are just a-going. They don't understand authority. They don't know anything about submission. They don't understand the subject of honor. And as a result of that, they're bringing problems on themselves. They're out of their place. Somebody does you wrong, the first thing you do is forgive them. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. It's not your job to figure out how you're going to get even with them. It's not your job to figure out how, you know, you can fix your reputation that they ruined. Let God take care of that. You think God can exalt you enough where your reputation is cleared and good? God can don't underestimate God's ability to exalt you. You humble yourself. You don't try to defend yourself. You don't try to prove yourself. You don't try to clean up other people's messes that they've made for you. You humble yourself. You obey God. You submit yourself, trusting him. He will exalt you and he will take care of those that are trying to do you harm. For vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. He will take care of it. David understood that. Thank God he did. He proved himself to be worthy of the position of king because of the way he handled this situation. And he became a great king, a great king. A lot of the kings after him that became king of Israel, a lot of them got into position through rebellion by trying to overthrow somebody, overthrowing another king. And many of them didn't last very long, or they weren't remembered as good kings. David is remembered as the beloved king of Israel. God has greatly honored this man. His name still is honored to this day. I think they even have a hotel in Israel, right? It's called the King David Hotel. No, it's not the King Ahab Hotel. Right? The King Saul Hotel. No, no. Nobody wants to remember Saul or Ahab. Nobody wants to remember this guy. But we remember King David. The King David Hotel, right there in Israel. See, he's still being honored to this day because he did it right. He did it right. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, it says, do not curse the king, even in your thoughts. Even in your thoughts, it's not okay. Well, nobody heard me. God did. You did. Don't accept it from yourself. That word curse means to make light, treat with contempt, dishonor. Think about it. Just treat them lightly, treat unimportant, really no value. The Bible says, don't even think like that, let alone talk like that about the king. That's cursing him, which is cursing God, which will bring a curse. The New Living Translation says it this way, never make light of the king even in your thoughts. Never make light of the king. See, we got to hear this because we have to realize we're being bombarded with the opposite all the time in our society today. News media and everything else. So we need to get our defenses built up. We need to get our spiritual immune system strong. So we resist this stuff. We're not a part of that mess. We know the way to be blessed. The New International Version says it this way, do not revile the king even in your thoughts. Today's English version, it says, don't criticize the king even silently. Do not criticize him even silently. You know, there was a time where the Apostle Paul was being persecuted. And he was taken before these religious rulers. And the high priest had ordered Paul to be slapped across the face for something he said. He didn't say anything wrong. This is just a wicked ruler. And so he orders this man to slap him really good across the face. And so Paul reacts. And he says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. Apparently the guy was wearing all white, you know, he's sitting up there. And then someone else spoke up and said, do you revile God's high priest? And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was God's high priest. See, he didn't know who the guy was. I didn't know it was God's high priest. And then he quotes this, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. So he recognized right there, he was upset with himself that he ignorantly had spoken against God's high priest, even though the man was corrupt, slapped him across the face. We got people, reviling people that are not even close to being corrupt, not even close to pursuing their life. And yet people are reviling and speaking evil and being disrespectful towards authority figures that are only trying to help them. Here you got people, they're getting slapped and attacked by them, but they wouldn't dare do anything against them. But people today, you just look at them wrong. They looked at me wrong. They didn't acknowledge me. They didn't say hello to me. They said hello to everybody else. And here goes all the reviling, all the criticism, all the stuff. Over what? People aren't rooted in understanding submission and authority. We have to get rooted in it because we are kingdom rulers. I said we're here to rule and reign with Christ forever. Can you say amen? So we need to be most respectful, honorable people of authority if we are going to be a people that are going to exercise great authority in life. And we need to be able to walk in our authority. We need to use our authority over devils and demons. And we want to live out the very purpose for why we were created. It's to be able to expand God's government, walk in his authority throughout all eternity. This is what we're called to do. We got to seek it first. We got to put it first place. We got to get a hold of this. If we're going to walk in authority, we have to submit to authority. Can you say amen? Praise God forever. Somebody say, I love submission. So you got to learn to love these things. You got to love submission. Why? Because you're submitting to God. And that is an awesome honor and privilege to be able to submit to him. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Well, Lord willing, we'll cover some more of these things. Right now, let's just stand on our feet. Let's thank God for his word this morning. I believe somebody was helped today.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.